Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 15, Text Number 45. Instructions for Civilized Human Beings. Yavan nirkaya ratam atma vashopakalpam date gadishta charan archanaya nishitam ganasim achito balo dada asta shatru svananda tusta upashanta idam vijaya yavan nirkaya ratamatma vashopakalpam datte garishta charana chanaya nishatam Gana simachutta valo dadatasta shatru Svananda tusta upashanta idam nijayat Yavan nirkaya ratamatma vishopakalpam Te garista charanarchanaya nishatam Gana simachutta balo dadat asta shatru Svananda tusta upashanta midam vijaya
As long as
Nirkaya,
this human form of body,
Ratam,
considered to be a chariot,
Atma Vasha,
dependent upon one's own control,
Upakalpam,
in which there are many other subordinate parts,
Date,
one possesses,
Garishta Charana,
the lotus feet of the superiors,
namely the spiritual master and his predecessors.
Archanaya,
by serving,
Nisatam,
sharpened,
Gyana Asim,
the sword or weapon of knowledge,
Achyuta Bala,
by the transcendental strength of Krishna.
Dadat,
holding,
Astra Shatru,
until the enemy is defeated.
Sva Ananda Tushta,
being fully self-satisfied by transcendental bliss.
Upashanta,
the consciousness being cleansed of all material contamination.
Idam,
this body,
Vijayat,
one should give up.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada.
As long as one has to accept a material body with its different parts and paraphernalia, which are not fully under one's control, one must have the lotus feet of his superiors, namely, his spiritual master and the spiritual master's predecessors. By their mercy, one can sharpen the sword of knowledge, and with the power of the Supreme Personality of Godhead's mercy, one must then conquer the enemies mentioned above. In this way, the devotee should be able to merge into his own transcendental bliss, and then he may give up his body and resume his spiritual identity.
Purport. In Bhagavad Gita 4:9, the Lord says, Janma karma chame divyam. evam yo veti tatvataha, tyaktu deham punar janma, naiti mameti so arjuna.
One who knows the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities does not, upon leaving the body, take his birth again in the material world, but attains my eternal abode, O Arjuna. This is the highest perfection of life, and the human body is meant for this purpose. It is said in the Srimad Bhagavatam, 11:20-17, Nirdeham adyam sulabam sadurlabam plavam sukalpam guru karnadaram mayanu kaulena nabhavivastiletam kumam babadhim nataret saatmaha. This human form of body is most valuable boat, and the spiritual master is the captain, guru karnadharam, to guide the boat in plying across the ocean of nations. The instruction of Krishna is a favorable breeze. One must use all these facilities to cross over the ocean of nations. Since the spiritual master is the captain, one must serve the spiritual master very sincerely so that by his mercy one will be able to get the mercy of the Supreme Lord. A significant word here is achyuta bala. The spiritual master is certainly very merciful to his disciples. And consequently, by satisfying him, a devotee gets strength from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu therefore says, Guru Krishna Prashadhi Pai Bhakti Lata Vij. One must first please the spiritual master, and then one automatically pleases Krishna and gets the strength with which to cross the ocean of nations. If one seriously desires to return home back to Godhead, one must therefore become strong enough by pleasing the spiritual master. For thus one gets the weapon with which to conquer the enemy, and one also gets the grace of Krishna. Simply getting the weapon of Gyan is insufficient. One must sharpen the weapon by serving the spiritual master and adhering to his instructions. Then the candidate will get the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In general warfare, one must take help from his chariot and horses in order to conquer his enemy. And after conquering his enemies, he may give up the chariot and its paraphernalia. Similarly, as long as one has a human body, one should fully use it to obtain the highest perfection of life, namely, going back home, back to Godhead. The perfection of knowledge is certainly to become transcendentally situated, Brahma Bhuta. As the Lord says in Bhagavad Gita, 18:54, Brahmabhuta prasanatma nasochati nakangshati samaha sarveshu bhuteshu madbhaktin lapate param. One who is transcendentally situated at once realizes the Supreme Brahman and becomes fully joyful. He never laments nor desires to have anything. He is equally disposed towards all living entities. In that state, he attains pure devotional service. Simply by cultivating knowledge as the impersonalists do, one cannot get out of the clutches of Maya. One must attain the platform of bhakti. Bhakti mam avijanati yavanyas jasmi tattvataha tato mam tattvato gnatva visheti tanpanantara. One can understand the Supreme Personality as he is only by devotional service. And when one is in full consciousness of the Supreme Lord by such devotion, he can enter into the kingdom of God. Bhagavad Gita 18:55. Unless one has attained the stage of devotional service and the mercy of the spiritual master and Krishna, there is a possibility that one may fall down and again accept the material body. Therefore, Krishna stresses in Bhagavad Gita, Janma karma chame divyam evam yo veti tatvataha taktu deham puna janma naiti mameti so arjuna. One who knows the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities does not, upon leaving the body, take his birth again in the material world, but attains my eternal abode, O Arjuna. The word tatvataha, meaning in reality, is very important. Tato mam tatvato gnatva. Unless one understands Krishna in truth, by the mercy of the spiritual master, one is not free to give up his material body. As it is said, Aruya Krishchena padam padam tata patantya dunadita yusvadangriha. If one neglects to serve the lotus feet of Krishna, One cannot become free from the material clutches simply by knowledge. Even if one attains the stage of Brahmapadam, merging in Brahman, without bhakti he is prone to fall down. One must be very careful in regard to the danger of falling down again into material bondage. The only insurance is to come to the stage of bhakti, from which one is sure not to fall. Then one is free from the activities of the material world. In summary, as stated by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, one must get in touch with a bona fide spiritual master coming in the parampara of Krishna consciousness, for by his mercy and instructions one is able to get strength from Krishna. Thus one engages in devotional service and attains the ultimate goal of life, the lotus feet of Vishnu. Significant in this verse are the words Gyanasim Achyutabhala. Gyanasim, this sort of knowledge, is given by Krishna, and when one serves the Guru and Krishna in order to hold the sword of Krishna's instructions, Balaram gives one strength. Balaram is Nityananda. Vajendra Nandana Shiye Sachisuta Hoilo She Balaram Hoilo Nitai. This Bala, Balaram, comes with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and both of them are so merciful that in this age of Kali, one may very easily take shelter of their lotus feet. They come especially to deliver the fallen souls of this age, Papi Tapi Jatajilo Harinama Udarilo. Their weapon is Sankirtan, Harinam. Thus, one should accept the sword of knowledge from Krishna and be strong with the mercy of Balaram. We are therefore worshipping Krishna Balaram in Vrindavan. In the Mundaka Upanishad 3.2.4 it is said, Nayamatma Balo Hirena Labo Nacha Paramadat Tapasova Pialingat Etar Upayarya Jatiyas Duvidvams Tasyasya Atma Vishate Brahmadhamma. One cannot attain the goal of life without the mercy of Balaram. Sri Narottam Das Thakur therefore says, Nitaya Karunahave Vrajarada Krishna Pave. When one receives the mercy of Balarama, Nityananda, one can attain the lotus feet of Radha and Krishna very easily. Se sambandanahiyar birta janmagilo tara vitikulehi karibetar. If one has no connection with Nitai Balaram, then even though one is a very learned scholar or gani, or has taken birth in a very respectable family, these assets will not help him. We must therefore conquer the enemies of Krishna consciousness with the strength of received from Balaram. I begin by offering my obeisances and prayers to my spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, who has presented these wonderful translations of the eternal Srimad Bhagavatam and other Vedic literatures for the benefit of all mankind. And I offer my respectful obeisances under the lotus feet of all Srila Prabhupada's disciples who have taken the position of spiritual masters in his order and who are giving shelter to all the devotees who are assembled here today. I pray to them that they will allow me and help me to speak nicely in such a way to benefit their disciples. And I pray to all of you that you also will help me to speak nicely on this verse. The lotus feet of the guru and the predecessor acharyas is described here. One must have this. Last night we spoke about the importance of the shelter of the Guru's lotus feet. And we sing every morning, Sri Guru Charana Padma. To take shelter of the lotus feet of the spiritual masters, perfection of spiritual life. What does it mean? It means to take shelter of his instructions. He reasons ill who says that Vaishnava dies. Because Vaishnavas are living still and sound. Their instructions are their real presence, Vani and Vapu. Of the two, Vani is preferred, because Vani is eternal. Vapu is also, in its own way, eternal, because the thought of the spiritual master's transcendental form is fixed in the disciple's heart. And that consciousness which is present within the heart and which retains the image of the spiritual master is not vanquished at the time of death. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur has said that I want to serve the spiritual master even until the end of the universe, and even beyond the end of the universe, I want to serve him eternally. So consciousness doesn't die. And one who is Krishna conscious retains the image of his spiritual master eternally within his heart. And at the same time, we understand more and more about our spiritual master when we hear from him his instructions. What are those instructions? They are not ultimately his own instructions. They are coming from Krishna. Srila Prabhupada has paid homage in this purport to Balaram. Sri Balaram has descended as Hoilo Nitai, Rajanda Nandana Jay, Sachi Sutash Hoilo She, Balaram Hoilo Nitai. The son of Mother Yasoda, Rajendra Nandana, the son of Braja, it's Sri Krishna. No one else. Not any other expansion but Krishna only. The son of Braj. Because in Braj, the Brajavasis have such exalted, beautiful, natural love for Krishna that no one else will satisfy them. If they get a chance for worship of Narayan, in their home they worship Narayan actually. It is said that Nanda Maharaj used to worship Narayan. He worshipped Narayan, but actually his mind was absorbed in Krishna. He worshipped Narayan as his household deity. And when he did so, for what purpose? To give protection to his son. But his heart was wholly and solely devoted to Krishna. And this is the quality of all the Brijavasis. They have nothing else within their mind and heart but Krishna. So that same Krishna, Vrajendra Nandana, the life and soul of the Brijavasis, has now come in the form of the golden avatar, the son of Mother Sachi. Mother Sachi is none different than Mother Yasoda. They have two forms. Just as we see Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Radha Krishna Nayanya. They have two forms. And so does Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They are two individuals, but actually they are the same person. Similarly, Nityananda Prabhu and Balaram. They are two persons, but actually they are the same person. And who is Lord Balaram? Who is Nityananda Ram? He is the Adi Guru. He is the original spiritual master. So when we hear the words of our spiritual master, the instructions coming from him, it is coming from Nityananda Ram, Balaram. We should never doubt this point. And therefore, all of the spiritual masters are delivering the timeless teachings without any change. But still, by their speaking these eternal teachings, they make it sweeter. The example is given, especially of Srila Sukadeva Goswami, who heard the eternal teaching, Srimad Bhagavatam, from his father Vyasadeva. But by his speaking, it is said that the subject matter became even more nectarian. So we see that we like to hear from our spiritual master because he transmits the message in such a palatable way for us to be able to receive it. This is his mercy. This is his duty. His duty is to deliver the Vedic knowledge in such a palatable way that the disciple will be able to digest nicely. So, Srila Prabhupada's purports, what are they? They are the combined mercy of all the previous acharyas. Srila Prabhupada has synthesized the most valuable realizations coming from our acharyas and presented them in such a suitable manner for the people of this Kali Yuga. And as the followers of Srila Prabhupada, it is our duty to disseminate this knowledge. Therefore, we go on book distribution. And everyone who goes on book distribution, Sankirtan, is a member of the disciplined line. You're also serving as guru. Vartma Pradarshik Guru. You're giving out the books. You're giving out, you're extending the Parampara's teachings into the hands of the conditioned souls. So how important it is that we must be exemplary. It's not by gyan, Prabhupada says, that this knowledge is transmitted. It's by bhakti. Bhakti mama vijanati. Ivanyas chasmi tatvataha. A gyani, an academic person, may fall down even if he achieves the position of Brahman. Aruya Krishchena. Even if he goes up to the highest position in the above the material world, Brahman, not the highest of all positions, but even if he goes to Brahman platform, he can fall down. Why? Because he's not properly situated as a bhakta, a devotee. So the book distributor, Sankirtan person, must of all things be a devotee, good devotee. And the better the devotee, the deeper the prayers of the devotee. And this influences the heart of the conditioned soul to receive these books. Srila Prabhupada said, a Sankirtan devotee, he said, all of us, we can pray that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu influences the hearts of the conditioned souls. My dear Lord, you are present within the hearts of all living entities as the super soul. I request you, please influence their heart in such a way to make them want these books. These prayers are not going to go unheard. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has the best sense of hearing. So we should pray with great sincerity and pray to Mahaprabhu that I am coming on the order, on your order. Amara Gai Guru Hare Tare Desh Yare Dati Tare Kaha Krishna Upadesh. Give Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam to every living entity. Wherever you go, whoever you meet, you simply speak to them the message of Krishna. That is Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita. So these two books especially we are distributing. And Prabhupada said, of the books, hard books are better than soft. Because people take them more seriously and they preserve them. He gave more influence, more stress to big books distribution. And of the big books, especially Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. Very important. These are the literary incarnation. Bhagavad Gita, the words of Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam, the words spoken by the Bhagavatas about Krishna. Very valuable words. And they enter the heart. They clear away the dirt. They are the literary incarnation. When Krishna chose to leave this world 5,000 years ago, he remained in the form of the Bhagavatam. This is Vyasadeva's glory, that he preserved Krishna in the form of the Amala Purana, spotless Purana. Because other Puranas may introduce different types of mixed principles. But the Bhagavatam is not such a book. It is Satvata Tantra, pure, pure scripture, pure Purana. Pure means Sudasattva. This Vishuddha Sattva means the platform of pure goodness in which Krishna appears. It is free from the tinges of mundane goodness, passion, and ignorance. Not even is there any mundane goodness in the Bhagavatam. Other parts of the Vedic literatures, Triveda Vishaya, Jaiguna Vishaya Veda, Nistraigunya Vavarjuna. The other Vedas, they have some influence of the Trigunas, goodness, passion, ignorance, not the Bhagavatam. There's only one subject in the Bhagavatam on every page of the Bhagavatam, and that is Krishna Bhakti. This is a unique position of the Bhagavatam. And when we go out to sell these Bhagavatams, we have to be qualified Krishna Bhaktas. This is yoga. This is yajna. Yajna means you have to be a proper priest. You can't just sit in the yajna without taking bath, without dressing properly, without a good priest to perform everything. All things must be suci. So in the same way, the Sankirtan Yajna has to be properly prepared. We have to cleanse, bathe our minds with the holy names of the Lord. 16 good rounds at least, without committing any offenses. And we have to study this Vedic literature. Because, why? It is a weapon, transcendental knowledge. This yajna is not some type of easy yajna. In previous ages, what was the yajna? Everyone was practically God conscious. The Yajneshvara, Vishnu, would descend into the yajna arena to accept the offerings. They were so highly qualified, they could see the demigods who would sit there. The human being could see the demigods, and everyone could see Vishnu coming down. That's qualification. So high a qualification they had. But this yajna now is different. What kind of yajna is it? We do this yajna with a sword in hand. We do this yajna with a sword in hand. What is that sword? What are the weapons that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu performs this yajna with? He has his different associates. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu, Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadadhar and Srivas, and Gaura Bhaktas. These are the soldiers. And what are the weapons? Sri Harinam. And Sri Harinam is expanded in the form of these books. Sankirtan Prabhupada said, Harinam. Next word, Sankirtan of the purport, then the next word, Harinam. Therefore we have our Harinam Ananda. They also go together. Sankirtan, Harinam. This is the weapon to do the expansion of the holy name. And what kind of weapon is it? Weapon of transcendental knowledge. Because within the holy name of the Lord, all transcendental knowledge is present. All transcendental knowledge. And what follows knowledge? Detachment. There's no question of knowledge without detachment. If a person has knowledge but is not detached, it looks very poor. Knowledge is an opulence. But someone who doesn't have detachment, then it's like a person who's very wealthy wearing clothes that are torn. If a person is not detached, how can he be a devotee? Vairagya Vidya. Nija Bhakti Yoga. What is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Shiksha based on? Vairagya Vidya. Knowledge and detachment. Not attachment. Detachment. Detachment from what? Detachment from sense enjoyment. And because one is detached from sense enjoyment, and because one has the weapon of knowledge, what is the result? He can slay these enemies, which were mentioned in the previous verse. Passion, ignorance, attachment, hostility, greed, lamentation, illusion, fear, madness, false prestige, insults, fault finding, deception, envy, intolerance, passion, bewilderment, hunger, and sleep. All these enemies. And you have to cut with knowledge and detachment. Then you can go out and do this yajna. Otherwise you'll be bewildered and you will not be able to do the yajna. You'll stand there confused and helpless. Just like Arjuna, when he was about to do his yajna, he got confused. He lost his intelligence. Of course it was Krishna's arrangement. And his weapon dropped out of his hand. You have to prepare yourself for performing this yajna every day. You should understand that this is a war to the end of your life. It is not that we are going to fight this war, just like now they say in the Yugoslavia, right? A war may be coming to an end. The Serbs have taken over. Nonsense, he says. Anyway, we don't know. I don't know so much. I just happened to read a newspaper on the plane.
Doesn't look like it. Doesn't look like an end.
Well, this war that we're fighting will never have an end. Until Prabhupada said at the end, when you can overcome all these enemies, then you can stop fighting. When there's no more lust in the heart, there's no more envy, no more greed, no more illusion, no more sleep, no more hunger. When all of the bodily necessities are gone, then you can drop, the weapon, and Ananda will be there. Therefore, Prabhupada said, work now, samadhi later. You try to get samadhi without all of this work, you will not get samadhi, you will get simply an imitation of samadhi. This is prime benediction, Sankirtan Yajna, because by performing Sankirtan, all of these enemies can be defeated. It is such a... The enemies are so formidable, but the method of fighting with them is more powerful When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu appeared, Kali immediately shrank away. Before the appearance of Sri Sri Gaura-Nitai, Kali was very bold. He was thinking, this is my age. I'm going to be able to conquer and control. And then suddenly, on the horizon of Gaura, appeared the sun and the moon simultaneously. And all the darkness of Kali Yuga became dispelled. So when we go out and take part in this Sankirtan Yajna, we are doing it with the help of Sri Sri Gaura-Nitai. And not only Sri Sri Gaura-Nitai, but the predecessor acharyas in our line of disciplic succession and our beloved spiritual minister, their representative. Sri Raghunath Das Goswami has said that when you go on the path of bhakti, you may be accosted, you may be stopped on the highway by some robbers. Who are these robbers? These very same enemies. Lust, envy, greed, illusion, madness. And they may try to steal away what you have. What is that precious possession you have? This bhakti. This gyan. Not an ordinary mundane gyan. Transcendental gyan. And what else? Your detachment. And all the jewels, you see, which you have gotten. The jewels of transcendental knowledge. The faith which you have built up by the mercy of your spiritual master, these robbers are going to try and cheat and steal from you. So what do you have to do? You have to call out very loudly to the representatives of Agavit. Who is Agavit? Krishna. The killer of the Aga demon, the slayer of the Aga demon. You have to call out, oh Krishna, hey Krishna, hey Govinda, just like Draupadi called out when she was in danger, when so many enemies were trying to strip her naked. She called out, hey Krishna, hey Govinda, and by the quality of her calling out, immediately Krishna supplied her unlimited sari. So if you can call out very, very sincerely, then immediately all of the members of the disciplic succession, these are the constables of Krishna, they'll come to help you. Very important, Prabhupada said. Not just the lotus feet of your spiritual master, but you have the lotus feet of all the members. Prabhupada wrote me a letter, and he said, this is not my order that I want you to go out in Sankirtan. He says, this is the desire of all the previous acharyas coming from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The Prabhupada connected us to all of these personalities, and we should know them. You should know them very nicely. My grandfather. Prabhupada said when the father travels away, the grandfather looks after the children and he's even more kind than the father. That's why I think that the disciples of Prabhupada's disciples are surpassing Prabhupada's disciples. It's very clear to me why. Because you're got in a better position. He gives more mercy as a grandfather than he gives as a father. That's the clear explanation that Prabhupada has given. Why the grand disciples, we can now understand, are doing more for preaching than the disciples. Because they have their grandfather's mercy. And he says the grandfather is more merciful and kind than the father. Because somehow or other, the type of affection that a grandchild has draws out. It draws out unlimited mercy. The grandfather becomes very kind and pleased. So I think you're in a very fortunate position. And why just the grandfather, the great-grandfather, great-great-grandfather, all of these wonderful predecessor gurus, they are all our best friends. Prabhupada said the spiritual master is the master and friend of the disciple. Because what is the best thing? A friend. The friend is so dear, he wants to give everything to his friend. Sometimes Prabhupada calls Krishna our friend. So we should understand, therefore, how to do service to all of these great personalities in our mind, to draw from them their mercy. Lord Nityananda Balaram. But quotes Nobody can have relationship with Krishna, with Sri Sri Radha Krishna, unless they have relationship with Balaram. Very interesting. It is interesting because Balaram is in Sakyaras, Radha Krishna, Madhuryaras, and the two of them generally don't mix, and we don't see a picture of Balaram with Radha and Krishna. They don't get in the same. You can't put them in the same altar. That's why there's two altars. Of course, you don't have Radha Krishna. But in the temple, you don't put Balaram. You can put Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with Radha and Krishna, just like we do in Mayapur. But you can't put Gaur Nitai in the same altar generally with Radha Krishna. It's not done. Then how is it possible? Why does it say that unless you have a relationship with Balaram, you can't have a relationship with Radha and Krishna? Because Balaram is the original guru. He is the extended mercy of Krishna. Krishna coming in the form of the spiritual master. This is Nityananda Prabhu. In Lila, Gaur Lila, Navadvip Lila, Mahaprabhu showed his prakash that he's the Supreme Lord. And everyone knew he was the Supreme Lord. And who is Nityananda Prabhu? He's the Supreme Preacher. He is the one who was dispensed by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to Bengal to deliver the fallen souls. Nitai Pada Kamala. Prabhupada was singing Nitai Pada Kamala in Atlanta with the Sankirtan devotees who were all gathered there. They only had Gaur Nitai deities there. Big brass Gaur Nitai deities. And Prabhupada started to sing Nitai Pada Kamala. He couldn't go on singing. So all the devotees from all over, big Sankirtan devotees, had gathered. And they had all were sitting there ready for Prabhupada's lecture. And he started to sing Nitai Pada Kamala. And he started to cry. And he couldn't go on. And the whole thing was over. Just thinking about Lord Nityananda's mercy brought so many tears to Prabhupada's, you know, to Prabhupada, he could not go on speaking. We cannot understand how merciful Nityananda Prabhu is. He is the guru. It is when the guru acts for us, it is Nityananda's mercy coming through him. And we love our spiritual master also because he reveals to us Nityananda's mercy. The mercy of delivering the conditioned souls, this comes from Balaram. This comes from Nityananda Prabhu. This is how Krishna does it, through Nityananda, through Balaram. And that comes through the disciplic line. And each of the spiritual masters reveal to us that mercy. Because unless they can hold that mercy, unless they can carry that mercy, we can't get it. Therefore we worship each of our spiritual masters. Even though the mercy is coming from Nityananda Prabhu, it is his mercy. It is coming from the heart of Krishna Balaram, this mercy. And it is being brought to us by our spiritual master. But as a spiritual master holds that mercy, he understands it, he realizes it, and then he gives it to us. And therefore, we are totally devoted and dependent and appreciative upon our spiritual master. Without his help, we can't understand Krishna. Without Balaram, you cannot have relationship with Radha Krishna. This way, the devotee should be able to merge into his own transcendental bliss, and then he may give up his body and resume his spiritual identity. We have spiritual identity. This material body is not our spiritual identity. What is this material body? Made of stool, pus, mucus, bones, and yet it is said to be a good ship. Pretty good to make a ship that can cross over the material existence from stool, pus, bones, and mucus. Krishna is very liberal. He allows you to cross over an ocean in a boat made of pus and stool. Very liberal. But this is not our real body. With this body, you cannot serve eternally. You can use it for what it's worth. Make the best use of a bad bargain. How much can you do with pus and stool, even if you're a magician? But we're trying, but it's so difficult. It is very difficult, isn't it? So many problems come with the body. Digestive problems, elimination problems, respiratory problems, circulatory, you know, blood problems, you know, nervous problems. What do you expect? And there's Radha and Krishna in Braj, being served by all their eternal servants, and we are coming with our stool and blood and pus. Therefore, we use it here, pulling out a thorn with another thorn. We use this, you know, heap of blood and pus and mucus that we inherited because of our past karma, and with it, we get some qualification. We use it as a vehicle, as far as it can be used, see, at this point. And gradually, we get to understand who we are eternally. What is the spiritual identity of the soul? Because the soul is spiritual. It is made of Satchitananda, eternity, knowledge, and bliss, of the same nature as Krishna himself. Mamai Vamsha Jiva Loke Jiva Bhuta Sanantana, same nature, Angsha, part and parcel of Krishna. The soul has such facility in which this material body doesn't have. So actually, when you're dancing and singing and doing sankirtan, it's not simply with the material body, it's through the consciousness which is coming from the soul, and it's pulling that body along and using it. But it's actually with the consciousness. It is the consciousness that sings. It is the consciousness that dances. It is the consciousness that does sankirtan. And it uses the best of a bad bargain. You see? Best use of a bad bargain, this body and this mind. But it is the consciousness. It is that consciousness that we have to take so much care of. It's the consciousness that we're trying to purify. And it's the consciousness which will one day show us the shape of what is the eternal identity of the soul, who I am. And then we can do pure devotional service in such a personal way. But now we have to use these weapons. This weapon of knowledge and detachment, slay away all these enemies which make it so difficult. And then Prabhupada says this thing will drop away. Body will drop away. And you'll have your, in the verse it says, you may give up your body and resume your spiritual identity. What does that mean, give up your body? It doesn't simply mean die, material death. Material death, but it doesn't necessarily mean physical death. This is explained by Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, 10th canto. I think 29th chapter, text 9 or 10 or 11, purport. When some of the gopis could not go to be with Krishna, they gave up their body. That verse. And Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur said, doesn't mean they gave up their body, doesn't mean they dropped dead. It means that by their intense feeling of separation, they overcame all material consciousness and their spiritual body became revealed, and then they could be with Krishna. This is the meaning when it says give up his body and resume his spiritual identity. And this is the idea that even in this life, one can become fully Krishna conscious. Then there's no more material body. Actually, no more material body. The gopis had no material body. The pure devotee has no material body. Therefore, in Nectar of Instruction, it was said that just as the Ganges always purifies, even though it may appear that there's some foam or bubbles or mud in the Ganga. But taking bath in the Ganga, you get purified. Similarly, the spiritual master, his body is always considered to be purified, even if it is appeared to have some defect due to birth, old age, disease, etc. It acts spiritually. No more material tinge. It should become like that. So we pray that we can get such a high level of consciousness that we can give up this material body and only have spiritual consciousness. Then everything we touch will become Krishna conscious, as Prabhupada did. Wherever he set his foot, that place became a tirtha. Nothing wasted. We waste so much time, so much energy. It is so disturbing to see. But Prabhupada never wasted any word. Any movement of the body was always productive. I always liked the example of Lord Shiva running after the Mohini incarnation. Even his, when he passed salmon, even the salmon was valuable. Right? It turned into gold and other valuable things. Because he's like God. He's almost God, Lord Shiva. And therefore, nothing that he does can be in any way wasted. So great personalities, this is one of the qualifications of Bhava Bhakti. They don't waste a single moment outside the service of Krishna. This can only be done by great mercy when one is accepted by Krishna. When Krishna accepts us fully and is satisfied fully because of the training we've received from our spiritual master, then everything we do will be very productive. And we can start to see the results. When the Sankirtan devotees start to get results, which are really remarkable, it means that Krishna is accepted. People should recognize how much I am doing. On and on and on and on. So much paraphernalia is mentioned here. As long as one has to accept a material body with its different parts and paraphernalia, so many paraphernalias with this body. What to speak of the subtle body, which is part of the body. Do you know how much paraphernalia your subtle body is carrying? You know, every day when you go, and I go on a plane, it says, 20 kilos, 30 kilos, you're allowed, right? You try and weigh the paraphernalia that's in your mind. You couldn't fit it in a jumbo jet. At least I couldn't fit. I'd need a whole fleet of jumbo jets. And I'd be sitting there for the next 10 years putting it on the scale. This attachment, this thing. Oh, the plane would never get off the ground. And what is the only way, it says here? One must have the lotus feet of his superiors, namely his spiritual master and the spiritual master's predecessors. The spiritual master is only a spiritual master because he follows the predecessor acharyas. Anyone who ever thinks that there can be a difference between a guru and the predecessor acharyas is doing the greatest disservice to his guru. Greatest disservice. The guru is the servant of the parampara. And his business is to repeat the words of the parampara. And we should never make any mistake in thinking that the gurus can contradict each other. The predecessor acharyas or guru, never. It will not be possible. We should have full faith in all of our guru varga, they're called, the group of spiritual masters. I had a very good dream once in Bombay, which Prabhupada confirmed was bona fide, after I had an operation. And I had a dream during the operation. And I told Prabhupada, and he said, yes, it is a fact. And in that dream, Prabhupada was called by the previous acharyas to give a report. And they were all there together. I saw Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, Srila Gorkhashwar Das Babaji Maharaj, Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur, Srila Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj, and the previous acharyas. And they asked Prabhupada, what is your report about your mission? What has happened with our mission, they were asking. And Prabhupada said, so far I have, what I have seen, the people on this planet have no ability to perform austerities. And they have they're not very intelligent. And actually they have very few good qualities. But one thing they have, that they have done, somehow they have taken shelter of my feet. This was the dream I had. Prabhupada was saying, somehow they have taken shelter of me. They have faith in me. And what is the result of that? All knowledge, all austerities, and all good qualities will come gradually. When Prabhupada went to India, so many times his Western disciples would make foolish mistakes. embarrassing mistakes because we were not cultured. And Prabhupada would have to apologize on our behalf to different gentlemen who we had offended. But he would always say at the end, but they have one good quality. Whatever I say, they will do. And he meant to say to them that even though you have all good qualities, if I ask you to do something, you won't do it. But whatever I say, they will do. And this one quality, you know, he was saying, makes them in that regard better than anything else, anyone else. This is the redeeming quality. Such staunch faith in Guru. We have that verse, Yasudevi Parabhaktiriyata. What is that verse? One who keeps equal faith on Guru and Krishna. Yasudevi. What is that? One who keeps equal faith in Guru and Krishna, all the knowledge of the Vedas is revealed. That verse. Yasya devi parabhakti yata devi tata guru tasya ite katidayat prakashanti mahatma. One who has full faith in Guru and Krishna, all knowledge will come. All knowledge. So, now, it is clear, and this month is the Sankirtan. The whole parampara is requesting everyone focus. Even if you're not a book distributor, then you back up the book distributors. From the kitchen, from the warehouse, you know, from the deity's altar, wherever you are. But we should understand, the army is on the move. This is the month that the army goes into high gear. And we get so much opportunity to feel the power of Balaram, the strength of Balaram. Very nicely put by Prabhupada. Where is that? The sword of knowledge is given by Krishna, and when one serves the Guru and Krishna in order to hold the sword of Krishna's instructions, Balaram gives one strength. So, these deities are very wonderful. I have a photograph of them that I keep with me in America. And I especially look to these deities during the Sankirtan marathons. I know all of you are also doing so. They're already proclaiming victory. They already got their hands up. This means victory. The Prabhupada said, it's already assured. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has already predicted. The only question now is, who is going to get the credit? The books are already distributed. The only question is, under whose name it will be shown. If you go out and make the effort, then you get the mercy of your guru. Balaram's mercy will come. And that will help you to come to the final goal of the lotus feet of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna. So we'll stop here and take any questions or comments.
One question, maybe. Chaitanya about Chaitanya Mangala that is described as Lopala situated in Frederick.
Mahaprabhu. Is that what you said? Nityam. Balaram is in Svaita Dvipa.
Balaramba told Mahaprabhu that you should call it Svaita Dvipa because there you can meet Balaram. And also about Advaita Acharya, the statement of Lord Chaitanya, what he made to Advaita Acharya, that you allowed calling, waking me up from the hill cushion, I was sleeping there. So maybe you can explain something about it. Because it's sometimes it's doubt. Is it now directly Krishna Balaram from Goloka Vrindavan? Or because it's the Svedavi, it's not Goloka Vrindavan. So is there some explanation about that?
And I just wrote, what was it?
Yeah,
No, repeat. Balaram, in Chaitanya Mangala it is said that Balaram is?
Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Aragur is Lord Chaitanya in the golden, Krishna in a golden form, surrounded by all his associates, Rukmini and so on, Radharani and so on, they're all there, surrounding Lord Gauranga. Then Lord Gauranga, Narada.
Can you repeat all of that again?
He went to Goloka Vrindavan because he wanted to ask Lord Chaitanya how the Kali Yuga can become free of all the entanglements, you know, kind of thing.
Okay. I understand. No, but now I'll give explanation. I can understand how to explain. In Goloka Vrindavan, there are four sections, 3 + 1. The first is Braja Vrindavan. We call Vrindavan, Goloka Vrindavan. Next is Mathura. Next is Dwarka. And then there's another Vrindavan that comes after, which looks like Vrindavan. There's Govardhan, Jamuna, everything is there. And Krishna and Radha and Krishna are there. But the difference is that the mood is like Vaikuntha. And Krishna is being worshipped by the personified Vedas there. This place was shown to the residents of Braja Vrindavan by Krishna at the time when Krishna was being taken to Mathura. Akrura had some vision, you remember? He stopped to bathe. And Krishna and Balaram turned into, he saw them as the Supreme Lords. Later on, Nanda Maharaj was taken captive by Varuna. And at that time, when Nanda Maharaj was under Varuna's clutches, Krishna and Balaram came to rescue Nanda Maharaj. And suddenly Varuna and all of his assistants began to offer respects. So Nanda Maharaj was very amazed. How is this? This huge king of all the oceans, Varuna Dev, is offering respect to my son. And everyone else is doing the same to my sons, Krishna and Balaram. So after Varuna, Varuna prayed, said that I did this just to get your darshan, Lord Krishna and Balaram. Nanda Maharaj came out and he told all of his friends what happened. So then they began to think that it may be that our son is actually the Supreme. For a moment, Nanda Maharaj was thinking like this. Then they thought that if so, let us ask them that what is our destination? Can you help us? Where will we go? So at that time, Krishna revealed to Nanda Maharaj and the other residents of Braja the fourth place, you can say. It was a place where they saw Krishna was there and all of the associates were there and he was being worshipped with great awe and reverence. So that place is called Swetadweep. Because and that's the same place, which is often mentioned in many places, like where there's discussions going on in Kali Yuga, will you come? Yes, I will come. There will be cursing. This is not Braja Vrindavan. That doesn't happen in Braja Vrindavan. There's no question of discussing about Kali Yuga with Radha and Krishna and the gopis in Braja Vrindavan. This goes on in this Vaikuntha portion where Krishna is God. And there's recognition and knowledge of his being God. And he can be approached and discussed on the platform being God. Because in Braja Vrindavan, there's no thought like that, that Krishna is God. They think, Krishna is my son, Krishna is my friend. If suddenly Narada Muni, you know, what would he do? He's going to enter and say, Krishna, come over here, I have to ask you a question. And Krishna turns to Radha and he says, just a minute, I have to deal with it. No, I don't know. The whole Leela will be ruined. Understand, it'll be ruined. It can't enter into that part of Goloka. So it comes in the fourth place known as Vaikuntha Goloka. And this is mentioned in Brahma Samhita. It's described, this is what is described in the fifth verse of Brahma Samhita. And it is Shweta Dweep. And the Acharyas discussed this. It's mentioned in the purports of the Bhagavatam also, in the commentaries of the Acharyas regarding Nanda Maharaj. It's there, the verse is there. Krishna showed, it's mentioned in Krishna book even. It just doesn't go into these, mentioning the different sectors. But it says that Krishna showed his father and the others this section. Jiva Goswami explains this in his commentary to Brahma Samhita. So that's the place. Now, Mayapur, Navadvip, is a different situation. It is in the center, it's described to be in the center of Braj. Intense feeling of separation, the center of Braj. At least I have heard it described like this. In the center of Braj of Vrindavan is this island where Mahaprabhu and his associates are. It is on the highest of all regions. Past this Vaikuntha Vrindavan, past Dwarka, past Mathura, and in Vrindavan itself, in the center, is Navadvipa, where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is feeling intense separation. And in the mood of Srimati Radharani, he feels intense separation from Krishna. It's the highest place. Now, the second part of your question was about...
Is Krishna Balaram what he had asked Lord Chaitanya Nityananda, the original or an expansion?
Original.
So that means Narada Muni could just meet them?
No, he can talk with their... He can talk with the expansion.
Expansion, but then...
But they come personally. They come means they are eternally there, and they come. It is says... Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Brajendra Nandana. That Brajendra Nandana is not an expansion. He's the source of all expansions. And Balaram is Nitai. They are the original personalities of Godhead. They are the masters of everyone. They are the source of all the expansions. All the avatars are coming from Krishna and Balaram, Gauri Nitai. They have within them all the avatars. They're not themselves in the expansion. They are the avatari. But Narada Muni will deal with their expanded form because he's a devotee of... He can go like that. We don't find him entering into Braja. He prays to enter into Braja. There's a kund, Narada kund, where he has done his tapasya. But he can enter in that place because he's there with the personified Vedas. We see when Vishnu is being prayed to by the personified Vedas, Narada is always there with them. So he's there in that Vaikuntha Goloka. He has access to that. And now, this is a very extraordinary position of what Mahaprabhu has come to give, Braja Bhakti. It's very rare, Braja Bhakti. But that's why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came, to give that Braj Bhakti. With no Namo Mahabhadanaya Krishna Prema Pradayate. What is that Krishna Prema that no one else ever came to give before? It is a type of Prema that the Brajvasis have. This is rarity of Mahaprabhu's descent. And without having the mercy of Nityananda Prabhu, you can't get it. Another?
Yeah,
yes.
There's sometimes also descriptions of Goloka Vrindavan as very nice buildings, palaces, even very opulent. So this is now the fourth place?
Is there descriptions of Goloka Vrindavan with very nice palaces? No, because Nanda Maharaj, you know, he had a beautiful palace. And Vrishabhanu Maharaj had very beautiful palaces. They didn't just live in the little thatched huts. The trees are Chintamani. The whole dust, everything is Chintamani. They're beautiful palaces. The opulence is not, it's not just that as cow herders, they lived in little cow sheds. The cows lived in the cow sheds, and even the cow sheds, according to the descriptions, I think of Baladev Vidyabhusani, he said, even the cow sheds are made of lapis lazuli and, you know, diamonds and so many things. What to speak of the palaces? No, that is Goloka, Braja Vrindavan. Yes, but the thing is that the pastimes, many of the pastimes don't go on in the palaces. They go out in the forest. When they go out into the forest, that's where all the pastimes, most of them, take place. But sometimes they come home. In the evening they come home. Then the Leela takes place in these palaces. But the Radha Krishna Leela and the cowherd Leela with Krishna, that's going on in the forest and in the Govardhan, in a very natural setting, which is more beautiful even. When you read the descriptions of Radhakund, you know, so beautiful descriptions. Because after all, you know, you can make beautiful palaces, but if you look at a flower, how beautiful a flower is. And when, you know, the clothing is made of flowers and the swings are made of flowers, that in a sense is the most charming and beautiful, most sweet of all.
What's the relationship between Balaram and Radharani?
Yeah. Balaram is the older brother of Radharani's lover. So they have some... She and the other gopis keep themselves... They're very shy in Balaram's presence. And there's very little interaction. But there are some leelas that take place between them. And Balaram gives, we see, for example, in the killing of the Sankashuta demon, the jewel came, you know, from the turban of the, from the head of the Sankashuta demon. And that jewel was given by Balaram to whom? Yes, to Radharani. But Manu Mangal also had some. I think it was... Anyway, he didn't give it directly, I think. But it was given to Radharani.
First to Balaram.
Krishna gave it to Balaram. And Balaram gave it to... I think Manu Mangal somehow got involved. But in any case, it came to Srimati Radharani at some point. There's some... You know some past... No. Anyway, there is some pastime, like between them. But generally, because Balaram is the older brother of Krishna, so Radharani is shy, because a girl will be shy. Even we see in normal Vedic times, the girl, the wife will be shy in the presence of the husband's older brother. And the older brother is very kind and merciful upon the wife of the younger brother, but at a distance and very politely. So there's very little interaction. However, there's another way, because the Radharani's younger sister, her name is Ananga Manjari, and she is the expansion of Balaram. She's actually the Shakti of Balaram. She is Balaram in a Shakti form. Just as Radharani is the pleasure potency of Krishna, Ananga Manjari is the Shakti of Balaram, but not for his own enjoyment. So in the form of Ananga Manjari, Balaram associates very intimately with Radharani as her younger sister. So Balaram is the older brother of Krishna, and in the form of Ananga Manjari is the younger sister of Radharani. So in the form of Anangamanjari, therefore it is said that Balaram has all knowledge of every rasa. Because even in Madhurya rasa, he enters as Anangamanjari. And Anangamanjari is intimately connected with Radha and Krishna's pastimes. In the center of Radha Kund, all of the gopis have their places at Radha Kund. And in the center of Radha Kund is a little island where Anangamanjari has her place. So Balaram is in that rasa. Balaram, his older brother, is like a parent to Krishna. Sometimes he looks after Krishna. He's a friend to Krishna. He becomes the different paraphernalia of Krishna as a servant. So Balaram enters on every rasa. But in Madhurya rasa, with Radha and Krishna, he changes his shape and becomes Anangamanjari, not as Balaram. Because it's inappropriate for a girl to be with her lover in the presence of the lover's older brother.
Balaram also has his own gopis, no?
He does. Balaram also, Prabhupada explained that Balaram came back to Vrindavan and he did his Ras Lila. But the Ras Lila Balaram dance is not with the gopis connected with Krishna. That would be Rasavas. So he has his own gopis.
You know some of the names of these gopis? There's some information about them?
There may be, but I don't know the names of them. Hari Nam Ananta Prabhu.
Can you describe the weapons?
Huh. Can you say something more about the weapons?
Especially about the beauty of Sri Chaitanya.
The beauty of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Very nice. Harinamananda Prabhu says that one of the weapons of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the most important mention in Chaitanya Chaitamrita, is his transcendental beauty. Now, can you explain how that weapon is used when we go out on Sankirtan? Huh? Please. You can explain? I think you can explain, but you are keeping this to yourself. You should be very charitable and share your realizations with us. Huh?
I only heard something about it.
You heard something about it?
Yeah.
Ramani Supriya Prabhu can say something about the transcendental beauty. I am only sitting here on your order. It is you who put me here. Well, certainly Mahaprabhu, when he in his Leela, captivated everyone by his beauty. So, in the performance of the Sankirtan pastimes 500 years ago, and wherever Mahaprabhu performs them, just by seeing him, people would be overwhelmed with ecstatic love of God. Now, what we are doing is on the order of Mahaprabhu. So, these books, the teachings, are part of the expanded form of Mahaprabhu. His teachings, coming directly from his representatives, are not different from him. So we can say that they're also very beautiful. So these books are part of the beauty of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And therefore anyone who gets these books becomes transformed. They certainly become overwhelmed. The beauty of Mahaprabhu is also in the form of his transcendental knowledge. In other words, he shows that beauty sometimes through the eyes. Someone gets to see the beauty of Mahaprabhu. Sometimes one gets to see the beauty of Mahaprabhu through the ears by hearing the Sankirtan, the Harinam Sankirtan. Sometimes one gets to experience the beauty of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu through these transcendental literatures. That's one way I can think of explaining. But it specifically refers to when he was doing Sankirtan and people saw him. His beauty was so overwhelming. In Bhaktivinoda Thakur's Navadvipa Dham Mahatmya, we see how they would pray, different personalities would pray, Parvati Devi and different persons would pray, and when Mahaprabhu would appear to them, they would just faint seeing his beauty. In other words, this Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Krishna, is the most beautiful of all persons. It is said that this is one of the four qualities of Krishna, which is beyond even Narayan, is his beauty. And this Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is even more beautiful than Krishna. Because in the comparison of Krishna's beauty and Radharani's beauty, Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami says that Radharani defeated Krishna. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has stolen, he is Krishna who has stolen the beauty of Radharani and dressed himself in that beauty. So no one can be more beautiful than Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Because Krishna is the most beautiful and Radharani is more beautiful, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the combined beauty of Radha and Krishna when they're united together. Yes, that's very nice. The main mood, or the main, it is in Braja, in Swetadweep Braja, where Mahaprabhu is present, is Navadweep, with some of the mood and activities of Puri. Although you may say he showed more years here in Puri, but in Swetadweep, it is said that is the main thing is Navadweep Leela. And some things from Puri. This is how I have heard it explained. Some things from Puri. But the Leela, where he goes to South India and other things, this is called Boma Leela. That is not there. It is within this world only. Bomya Leela. It is not Nitya Leela. Some things of Mahaprabhu are not eternal Leela. But the Navadweep Leela and the Puri Leela is eternal, and they're somehow brought together there. Otherwise it becomes confusing. It will be confusing. But another point is this. There's a word called prakosta. Prakosta means chamber. Just like on an altar you have different chambers. So by the arrangement of the Lord, within the Dham, there can be so many chambers or dimensions in which the Leela can simultaneously exist. So the Leela of Puri and the Leela of Navadweep are like that. They're going on there.
Can I also say that as like Lord Krishna never leaves Vrindavan, that Lord Chaitanya never leaves Navadweep?
Oh, yes.
Means that when he goes to take sannyas, it's an expansion?
Like that. That's like that, you can say. Just like we say, when Krishna kills the demons, he does so as Vasudev Krishna. Or Mahavishnu. We don't say that Krishna himself kills the demons. Because within Krishna are all the incarnations. So Krishna is doing with Vrajendra, what Vrajendra Nandana does. What he does with the Vrijvasis is his Leela. And other things he does with some expansion of his. And especially when he goes out, apparently outside of Vrindavan, that's an expansion. So like this, these are expanded forms of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That's the right understanding.
And then he speaks with scholars and so on?
Like that, it may be. Huh? It can be. I cannot say exactly which is which. We have to think deeply. By carefully considering the Siddhanta, you can get the answers to this question. I mean, I would have to think very deeply on each point, but you can get it clear. Because it's very clear from Krishna's pastimes that not all the things that Krishna does, he does as Brajendra Nandana. Some things he does as Vasudev Krishna. All the acharyas have said this. So since Lord Chaitanya is not different than Radha and Krishna, the same must apply. It is mentioned by Krishnadas Kaviraj that when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes, all the avatars and incarnations are in him. That means that different incarnations will do different actions on behalf of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But certain things only Chaitanya Mahaprabhu can do. And what is that? Where he tastes the mood of Srimati Radharani. That only Mahaprabhu can do. That's the principal cause of his descent. Right? And it mentions the cause of Lord Chaitanya's descent. Huh? What else? But it says primary and secondary. This is how it's mentioned. So the primary cause was to experience the love of Srimati Radharani for Krishna. And secondary was that this was the Yuga avatar, Yuga Dharma. But in other Kali Yugas, there are others who do that Yuga Dharma. It's not only Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes once in the day of Brahma. But in every Kali Yuga, there's a Yuga avatar that does Harinam Sankirtan. So therefore it's called secondary. But only Chaitanya Mahaprabhu can fulfill the primary cause. Every single Kali Yuga, there's an avatar that spreads the Yuga Dharma of Sankirtan.
So he does it not do it himself?
He does it himself. But within him, there are the different incarnations. Not that we say he doesn't do it himself. And it doesn't mean it's not important. It doesn't mean it's less important. But we're just saying, if you analyze these things analytically, we should see analytically that no one else but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu could experience the love of Srimati Radharani. Right? Who else can do that? Only Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But as far as spreading the Yuga Dharma, different personalities can do it. Different incarnations do that. Every Kali Yuga, what happens? What is the process in Kali Yuga? What is the Yuga Dharma? Nam Sankirtan.
Sometimes I also hear that Krishna appears in Kali Yuga. But can you explain something about that?
No, I can't exactly. But I know.
Sometimes it's blackish in Kali Yuga.
Yeah, but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes once. Krishna comes once in the day of Brahma. He doesn't come every Yuga, every Kali Yuga, Dwapara Yuga. It's mentioned very clearly in Bhagavad Gita, the 28th millennium of the 6th Manvantara, he comes. Himself, Brajendra Nandana comes. And similarly, after him comes Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And at other times, other persons come, but they're not Brajendra Nandana and they're not Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Then there are expansions, etc. But he himself comes like that, the son of Nanda Maharaj. And that son of Nanda Maharaj thought to himself at the end of his appearance, still I feel that something more needs to be done. And so he came as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And that something more is he wanted to experience and give to the world. And that's why you'll see text Adi Lila, chapter 1, text 4, 5, 6, gives the causes of Lord Chaitanya's descent. And those are the primary causes. But we don't think that it's not Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When we see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taking sannyas, when we see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, it is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Only we're talking analytically. Actually, this analytical thing doesn't necessarily help our bhakti. It does and it doesn't. It means we do it so we get the tattva clear. But then we should also forget the tattva and love Lord Chaitanya. And see the Lord Chaitanya is doing these things. Just like we don't think, I personally, when we read the Leela, when the cowherd boys see Krishna killing Putana, they don't think, it's not Krishna. No, it's Mahavishnu. It's Krishna. If they ever thought like that, then the whole Leela is destroyed. So we're doing tattva now because we're sadhakas. We're doing sadhana bhakti. And part of the activity of a sadhaka is to understand philosophically everything. To learn the tattvas, different tattvas. But in terms of actually entering into the lila, the mood of the lila, we put that aside. And we take it, Krishna is killing Putana. Krishna is doing everything. Krishna killed Kamsa. Krishna went to Mathura. And that's why everybody in Vrindavan is crying now. And if you don't think that way, then you can't even appreciate the Leela. So it is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu who's doing this. All the activities. At the same time, if we want to talk analytically, then we can make these distinctions. But for the actual purpose of relishing, which is the real goal and purpose of studying Bhagavatam and Chaitanya Chaitanamrita and doing everything, then we don't think like this. It will disturb the relishment. Yeah, we banish those thoughts. All right, last question. I'm sorry, I don't want to keep the Sankirtan back. That's why I think I'm an offender when we go too long here.
Question.
All right, we should have, he had his hand up first. Yes?
What is the most outstanding quality of Nityananda Prabhu? And which blessing the most
The most outstanding quality of Nityananda Prabhu is his mercy upon the fallen conditioned souls. Dayal Nitai. His Doya. He gives his mercy. He is known as Dayal Nitai. Dayal Nitai. And what is his mercy? That he gives us the ability to approach Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Without the mercy of Nityananda, no one can approach Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Therefore, Raghunath Das Goswami got the association of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu because he got the mercy of Nityananda Prabhu. So we must pray for the mercy of Nitai. Let us end with that statement. Gopremanandi Hari Hari Bo.